All right, I'd like to call the August 1st, 2023 meeting of Health, Human Services, and Housing Committee to order. I'd like to begin by entertaining a motion to approve the July 5th meeting minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion on the minutes from our prior meeting? I'll call the question. All those in favor of approving the July 5th meeting minutes?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. We'll move into resolutions. We have resolution number 381. Oh, I want to do things a little bit differently. I'm going to read the resolution, and this has been working well in the law enforcement committee. We're not going to take a motion to discuss the resolution. I'm going to read it. We're going to discuss it, and then I'll take a motion to approve it, or whatever else. It's a workable format.
Robert's Rules of Orders allow saying.
I actually might say that the motion to discuss is kind of a bad habit, that we're not sure where it came from, but it's not technically listed in the rules as an allowable motion in a committee meeting.
Yeah.
So my understanding is that motion to discuss is not allowable, and that motion is a motion on the resolution.
On the resolution, yeah.
And that we need a motion on the resolution in order to discuss and then vote. But if either our legislative rules or some other provision of Robert's Rules says it's okay to have discussions without there being a motion. But this would be the first time I've ever encountered that in 30 years of various different committees and service.
All right, well, I don't want to hit us with something that any member is not comfortable with. So we'll keep with the standard system. It's been working well with law enforcement.
And maybe we can just check.
Yeah, we'll confirm that, because I don't want anyone to feel uncomfortable about this. So I'll take a motion to discuss resolution number 381, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation to accept grant funds for the Golden Hill Renewable Energy Project, amending the 2023 Ulster County budget through the Department of Planning. Do I have a motion to discuss?
I will move it. Just move it.
Move it. Okay, move.
Do I have
a motion?
I'll second.
Move. Second by Stuart. And I will defer to Director Doyle to give us an update on this, and I also want to extend our gratitude for giving us an extra month to discuss this. We've already discussed this once, so hopefully we're in a good place on it now.
So what you have in front of you is the boilerplate from the DEC contract that's out there with the work plan associated with it. The reason you don't actually have an actual contract is they need the partnership agreement between the county and the project sponsor, in this case Penrose, in order for us to essentially develop a finalized contract. So we're in this chicken and egg kind of situation where essentially one of the things we'd like to try to do is get the contract approved at the state level, get the next resolution which deals with all of the agreements that we have between the county and Penrose. And then we would come back and those would get reviewed by DEC with any comments, and they would get incorporated into the actual contract itself.
And are we, so what stage are we at?
We're ready to go. From my perspective, I think I think it's appropriate at this particular point in time for the county to act on the boilerplate for the contract that's there, and coupled with the agreements that are before you in the next resolution.
Okay. Any questions from the committee? Yep, we'll go with Legislator Petit and then Erner.
Thank you. I've looked over these a couple of times and I still can't get past what I'm reading, and that's that the county is responsible for RFPs and design, and and then after that all we need is access to data and the EV charging stations. We still own this property. It still hasn't been transferred over to the LDC. So, it's still county property. And I just think we're investing an awful lot of county time. You know, again, for a corporation that has almost a $10 million development fee. I would just like to really cut the apron strings on this, and then I feel a lot better. So if it was transferred over to either the LDC or to the Golden Hill Project Penrose Corporation, if it was, I just lost my whole train of thought on there. If I was already told that it was finalized, that Family of Woodstock is 51% management, so those papers have been signed, but I think that's different than actual ownership. There's just more paperwork that I'd like to see on this.
Director Doyle, do you want to respond to that?
If I may, thank you. And thank you for that, those concerns, Legislative Petit. What I would say to you is that this is an eligibility question. The Development Corporation, either the Local Development Corporation or Penrose, is not eligible for this grant. The eligibility rests with the county or a municipality in this instance. So that's why the county has applied for the grant. The example I would give you that is very similar is the one where the county applied for exactly the same type of grant for a different use. It was used to buy the composting facilities for the IRA. And so you applied for the grant as a county, you own those composting facilities, and you took what they call an environmental easement across the IRA property. So you have the same responsibilities for the composting that you would here. And that's why we went ahead and submitted the grant. We had your approval to submit the grant on that basis. So it doesn't matter whether the county still owns the current property or it's going to own the property in the future. The point is you'll own the system, and the agreements between the county and Penrose would allow you access to the system. So that's the partnership agreement that I talked about, which is expressed as a maintenance agreement. It's also expressed as a conservation easement, environmental conservation easement on the site in that next resolution, if that helps.
Legislator Erner, you're up next.
Thank you. So I see a benefit to the people of Ulster County as a whole to have an electrical generating system that emits no carbon at the point of where the electricity is generated. We can talk about the manufacturer of panels, but overall I think it's more positive to do it this way than to keep burning natural gas, et cetera, how we usually do it through Central Hudson. That said, I understand that this still will have to hook up to the Central Hudson grid. I'm wondering, is there any way around that? That's the first question. And then the second question is there any additional benefit to the residents? I know we still have representatives from Penrose here, so whoever can answer this. Is there any additional benefit, say a discount on the rate that the residents there can anticipate versus if we had just tied them into the grid and they deal with Central Hudson, whatever else?
Director Doyle or anyone from the Penrose
team? Penrose, yeah, to address that question.
Sure. The solar program. So your first question, or your second question, was the tenants. Is there a benefit to the tenants? Like, the way that the low-income housing tax credit projects work nationally is the landlord provides a credit, a rent credit, to tenants for the amount of their expected utility bill. We have to provide an engineer who studies the unit sizes and the makeup of the building, types of systems it uses, and provides an estimate on the expected monthly and annual bill for utilities, based on a one-bedroom, a two-bedroom, a three-bedroom. And we provide an immediate rent credit in that amount to the tenants so that they're essentially being netted out that cost to them. Now, the solar system, what it's going to do for the electricity use by the property as a whole and make the project more financially feasible overall. If we were to shift more of the cost for utilities away from the tenants and towards the building, the tenants with that utility allowance, that rent credit that we provided them, would shrink accordingly, and their rent would go back up. So it's really just pick one or the other. That's the best way I can explain it. Did that make sense?
More or less.
So let's give you an example. It's a $500 a month unit in rent. Right? That's 60% AMI, two-bedroom that you're living in. That $500 a unit per month is your total housing burden. The rent and the critical utilities to live in the unit. So you can either say, hey, go to Central Hudson, and we'll give you $50, and now your rent's $450. Or we'll provide the solar on site, now your rent's $500. The intention is that you're always paying collected housing burden, the rent and the utility. While it's great that the creation is on site locally, how we put it in either the building side or the tenant side doesn't have a direct outcome on the tenant's cost burden to occupy that unit.
I believe the second question was about the transmission.
Hooking into
the grid or as a standalone, is that right?
Yes, could it be independent of Central Hudson?
property as a whole. It's something we could further research, but it's currently anticipated it will be hooked up to the central Hudson grid. We'll have a master meter for the property as a whole that'll power the entire common area space and then individual tenant meters. The solar system will defer the cost of the master meter, the property cost, and the tenant meters will be hooked up to the central Hudson grid.
The question is, could we afford a bigger solar system to cover everything?
Yes.
Yep.
So,
this is on this.
This
topic.
On both of these points. Okay. You know, I appreciate that you've addressed the economic benefit to the tenants, but there's health benefits to the tenants of living in a non-combustion building, and those are not small. There's also safety benefits. So, in terms of quality of life and literal measurable health benefits, it's much better to live in a non-combustion building. And in terms of having to hook up to the grid, the alternative to that requires battery storage, and this would be very huge. It just would be, I would think, unworkable to think with our current battery capacity to try to do battery for this. So hooking up to the grid, you know, does tie you into an existing system, but it allows you to have that flow of electrons whichever way you need them, and you don't have to have that battery storage, which you don't have space for it on this site as big as the site is, I think. And it would be a huge expense as well to try to do batteries in the current day. But in the future, coming off the system and going to a better battery storage once we have it should be a goal.
Legislator Litz.
Well, I was going to mention to Phil that in every project I've dealt with similar type projects, they're always connected to the grid for two reasons. One, if your solar system goes down or you know we have no sun for 2 months, you can get your power off the grid, so people are not left without electricity. The other advantage is on peak generation periods, you can sell electricity back to Central Hudson. But if you're not connected to the grid, you obviously can't do that.
Yep, and my understanding is the hardware is totally different. You can't do both. Yeah. So, Legislator Stewart on this?
I was just going to say, so if there's any excess power that's generated that's not immediately used by the facility itself, that would go back to Central Hudson and you'd get tax credits? Or how's that?
Tell you is that the system was being designed for the capacity of the demand produced by the property. Now, on a monthly basis, in winter, there's less sun, we'll probably be at a negative and need to access the grid. While in the summer, the more sun will be at a positive. On the whole, it should be net negative or net zero on the whole when you look at it. That's the way we size the system.
And I'll just add, I've seen bills from Central Hudson customers that have solar and are net producers, and basically you just there's like a service delivery charge that's very inexpensive, and if you ever have your solar panel go offline for a while, only then would you start to dip back into paying them, but otherwise you can see how much you're banking, and then when you draw down on it, you can see how much you're drawing down.
Yes.
Legislator Erner and then Nolan.
Just to the chair's last point, it isn't necessarily that inexpensive, that basic rate. It's about, in my experience, $40 for the basic service, and here it lists for a one bedroom. The yearly cost for electricity is projected at $1,058, so we're talking like a 35%, even if just to because you're connected to Central Hudson that you have to pay, at least right now for me as a rate payer, also with solar panels where I live. But maybe that is nominal. I'm just not imagining the numbers right.
Legislator Nolan?
It's a separate point, but you know, I see this as a very valuable, very important way for Ulster County to be a partner in this project and forward our own green climate goals. And so I think of it as like it's not quite an in-kind contribution, the work and time that we put into reviewing it, but maybe actually that's as good a description as anything else. And for us to have that project with those housing units be on a solar system is just, you know, I'm willing to work as many extra hours as I have to make that happen.
Yeah, we'll probably see net savings at TSS, right, because of people actually having housing.
That would be such a huge benefit, wouldn't it? And clean housing.
So are there any further questions? Otherwise, I'll call the question. Yep,
I just have one quick question, and my apologies up front to Director Doyle, because I believe you may have answered this question already. Decommissioning of the solar system, has that been taken in consideration?
It's in the documents. It's the responsibility of the tenant and Rose and family. Let's talk.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you.
Great. Legislator Petit?
Just to clarify, the grant was put in for 600 kilowatts, and even in the second resolution said 600 kilowatts, but I had scrolled through and it said the developer would be doing 700, which was stated a couple of times. Will we be responsible? I mean, is this enough to cover? I mean, is it like, it doesn't matter, it'll balance itself out?
The grant is
the
for
extra.
The estimated cost here was for a grant for 600 kilowatts.
So if it's seven,
It would be sized to essentially fit the needs of the project, as Will has indicated. I my apologies, Chair.
Okay.
No, that's
Without
fine. I appreciate
any additional
you
funding from the county?
Yes, as a matter of fact, there's a 50% grant.
Go ahead, Director. Go ahead.
Match.
Yep.
To the chair, to the director.
Yeah, I'm sorry. There's a 50% match required, and the developer will meet that match. So that match is being provided by Penrose for the match for this. And that's in the documents as well. And then also, there was a question I asked, I think, last time about the length of time that the facility has to be operational. And what we're hearing from DEC is that's 20 years.
Just a follow-on, is it a problem that it specifies 600 kilowatts in the one of the whereases?
No, that's what the grant source was.
Okay.
All right, so then I will call the question if there's no further questions on Resolution 381. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Do we have any opposed?
Nope.
Okay, that one's unanimous. Great. Resolution 382, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute various agreements to fulfill requirements for grant funding through the New York State Climate Smart Communities Program for renewable energy equipment at the Golden Hill Housing Site through the Department of Planning. Can I have a motion?
I'm happy to move it.
All right. Moved by Nolan, second by Stewart.
I'll second.
Excellent. Director Doyle, is there anything to add here? I know this is pursuant to the same program.
The only thing I would add is that these agreements under the agreement with the state will have to go through review process with DEC, so we may see some changes coming back which the attorneys would work out with respect to those changes. But we provided these to the DEC for a comment. We have not heard back from them yet.
Great, thank you. Any questions from the committee or other legislators present? All right, I'll call the question on Resolution 382. Oh, hold on. Legislator Petit, did you have a question?
Yeah, I'm seeing there's a blank in here as far as developer fees. I'm assuming that everything's going to come out of the grant funding. But essentially, they will be designing and negotiating on behalf of the county. And will they be paid a fee, or is that blank going to be filled in with a zero?
We're currently under discussions. We think it's a zero. We believe it's a zero.
If it was something other than a zero, where would that come from?
It would come out of the grant itself.
Okay. So there wouldn't be a cost to the county.
No, it's not a cost to the county. That's correct.
Okay.
So could that be added into the contract now?
Director Doyle, do you want to respond to that?
I believe that the answer to that would be yes.
Is there a reason why it's not in there?
It was under discussion at the time.
Okay.
So should we make an amendment to the resolution?
I don't know what document he's talking about.
Any development fees will be taken out of the...
Well, I'm a little bit uncomfortable with that because we're not talking about the actual amendment. We're not talking about the resolution itself. We're talking about part of the backup that was provided to us. Now, we know that they would not be able to have a cost to the county without coming to the legislature, so I'm not personally concerned that we're giving a blank check where there's not a value there. But if others feel differently, we could discuss that.
I think it's sufficient that we have an answer that it's likely zero and that it wouldn't come from the county if it is not anything above zero. And I think it it's not specified in the resolution, so I feel comfortable. This is the type of question that might get raised in Ways and Means again, and it'd be good to have a final answer by then, I think.
Yeah. So if folks are comfortable with it, I'll call the question on 382. I mean, Legislator Petit, are you comfortable with that as an answer?
No.
Okay.
I like to see it in writing just because at the end of my term here.
Is it that you want to know that it's not coming from the county?
Yes.
Okay. But we know that it can't come from the county without an appropriation from the legislature.
So I mean, we know that, but in a couple of months, who will know that?
Well, that would be it. That would be the county executive's office is not able to create money that isn't appropriated. Mm. So we know that that's not going to happen. So I'm not
comfortable as written. I like everything within the body of the document, so
yeah.
We can keep going back.
But this isn't
and referring to it.
Yeah.
I know that, but this is one of the agreements that is attached to the resolution. Yep.
I would suggest we call the question, and I think that it, the point can be addressed at Ways and Means, and that the information should be available. What's going into the contract at that point?
Will Dennis? Would the contract be updated by next week?
We certainly can have that conversation, and I would assure you that it's not going to be a county cost. It would end up being a cost to as part of the grant funding, or it would be zero.
Well, I'm comfortable personally as a member of this committee advancing it to Ways and Means, knowing that the contract will be updated by then. I wouldn't want to delay this a month. So, and I want to very much appreciate the planning department's work in getting this to us a month early so that these questions could come out last month when we discussed this. So I'm personally comfortable voting on this. I'm getting the sense from most of the members that we're comfortable voting on this, and Legislator Petit, I think it would likely to prevail if you voted against it, and I think I would not fault you for that at all. So I'm going to call the question on this. On Resolution 382, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We have one opposed, Legislator Petit. All right. And then I will just, as a note for those in the audience, that was our last Golden Hill-related resolution, and you will not be faulted for not wanting to sit through the rest of our meeting. No hard feelings at all. But I will keep going regardless. Resolution number 444, amending the 2023 Ulster County budget to accept an additional allocation of adult protective services funds from New York State Office of Children and Family Services, Department of Social Services.
So moved.
Second by Nolan, second by Stewart. Director Iaposi, or Commissioner Iaposi, do you want to give us some background on the funds being accepted here?
Sure. This is a previously existing program, and the origins of the funding are from American Rescue Plan money that the state has. This is an additional allocation of $15,000. Which is dedicated to be utilized for adult protective services clients who are identified with needs that involve trying to sustain them in their residential placements. And we've been utilizing the funds for things like making repairs to their entrances, making renovations to their bathrooms, arranging for the delivery of certain kinds of services. Sometimes it might just be laundry services, sometimes to basically enhance their ability to remain where they're living.
Great. Any questions from the committee? Legislator Erner?
Thank you. So, given that this program originated during the more severe, shall we say, part of the COVID-19 pandemic, is there any change to how we're implementing it now that things aren't as terrible?
No, there's no significant change. I mean, it still includes definitions and terms like being able to utilize it for PPE, so personal protective equipment, which is not necessarily something that people are generally utilizing as much now that we're somewhat further past COVID. But the actual language that was arrived at in connection with the original amounts of money has not been modified by OCFS. And there was a fairly significant amount of flexibility to be able to use the funding for whatever other kinds of needs might be identified, really to sustain adults in their residential settings.
Legislator Ernie?
Thank you. Thank you for that. And I see a letter dated here April 24th. At the end, it says Ulster County will spend the entire amount on or before September 30th. Being that we couldn't adopt this as a full legislature until August 15th, we're talking 45 days roughly. Is that enough time for you to use it?
Yes, I believe it will be.
All right, if there's no further questions, I'll call the question on resolution 444. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Resolution 445, authorizing the chair of the legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement with the Dutchess County Department of Behavioral and Community Health through the Department of Mental Health. I have a motion.
Motion.
Moved by Corcoran, and a second. Second by Erner. Commissioner McDonald, if you want to give us a little bit of background on this.
The New York State Office of Mental Health was given the responsibility to develop a system of 988 call centers in the state in order to be able to respond to the National 988 Act that had the national hotline for July of 2022. OMH asked for Dutchess County's helpline, which has been in operation for, I believe, 40 years, to be the call center for Dutchess County, Ulster County, and Sullivan County in order for us to implement 988. That went live last year, and we developed this MOU with Dutchess County in order to be able to provide that service. This is an extension of last year, just so that they can continue to do the 988 for us. This year, OMH wanted for the call centers to be able to work on implementing diversion from 911 centers to the 988, so that if someone calls into 911 with an issue that is connected with emotional distress, instead of having a police response, they would be diverted to the 988 for emotional support. And if anything further than emotional support was needed, they could dispatch the mobile team, or they could go back to the 911 in order to get a co-response and ambulance, that sort of thing. OMH gave Dutchess County money to be able to implement the diversion. So that is in addition to the 988 acting as our call center. So this is an extension of that MOU.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee? Legislator Petit.
Thank you. We have a similar program, the Family Woodstock, mm-hmm. that they can call and you know, if they just need somebody to talk to, generally that's more of a referral. Is this one more involved? This one actually has mental health caseworkers on the other end.
Correct. Okay. This service is connected to the National Suicide Hotline. In order to be able to be a National Suicide Hotline call center, you have to have clinicians that are answering the phones. So they have the ability to do assessment and evaluation and to be able to determine if someone is in danger of harming themselves or others.
Any other questions? All right, then I'll call the question on Resolution 445. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And Resolution number 446, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a lease agreement with Somati for space at 368 Broadway through the Department of Public Works. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Moved by Corcoran, second by Erner. And I know it says Department of Public Works, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say Commissioner McDonald is the best person to speak to it.
Yes.
If you want to give us a little bit of background on this, please.
Sure. Currently, Somati is already at 368. They have a small footprint there to be in order to be able to provide outpatient substance use disorder treatment. As a part of our opioid settlement RFP process, we awarded them $700,000 in order to So in Ulster County, in Kingston, they would have a detox for on an outpatient basis that would be medically supervised, which is definitely transformative. They need the space in order to be able to do that, and this new lease would allow for them to expand their footprint in the building.
Great. Any questions from the committee? Legislator Petit.
So how does this tie in with the beds that were missing at Westchester Medical? Do they lose part of their, because I know there's an assigned number of beds, so do they, will they pull those and assign it to somebody?
So the beds that are the OASIS licensed substance use disorder inpatient beds at Health Alliance are not returning. This will help that issue, and that they'll be able to offer some level of detoxification. Health Alliance says that they do detox on the medical units, but they're only doing alcohol, and it's not a full service. It's a medical service. This is actually giving someone or helping them to be able to start to get on the road for recovery. So after the detox, they're also supporting them, and they're getting them a peer, and they're getting them treatment. And it's not just, let's get the substance out of your body and good luck to you. And that's what Health Alliance is offering.
And how many other folks put in RFPs for this service?
None.
Nobody did.
Legislator Maloney?
Just with the, I don't know anything about it. The detox program itself, is it a traditional detox, or what? How is it they're detoxing from opioids and other things besides alcohol?
That is correct.
Are they using medications? How long does it take? Is this a 3 to 5 day thing?
The first thing that someone would have to do is to get medically assessed by the medical director, the doctor, and then ongoing nursing assessment. In order to be able to answer duration of treatment and you know what their treatment will look like, if they're going to use medication-assisted treatment, all of that would be developed in their treatment plan, but there would be options for them. So it's very individualized. Someone may need 5 days. Someone may need 2 weeks. But it all depends on the substance they were using, how long they were using, and how much they were using.
But this is a traditional detox. At the end of the week or two, they would be completely free of drugs. This doesn't involve Suboxone or medication for lengths of time.
It could.
So this isn't a traditional detox necessarily.
I'm not sure that I understand in terms, and I know I should be going through the chair. I'm sorry. I'm not sure I understand in terms of traditional.
Well, traditionally, if you would have just used the term detox 20, 25 years ago, mm-hmm. you would have been free of the drug within a couple of weeks, out of your system, doing no other drugs. You were detoxing from the drug you were on. That was my question. If this was a traditional detox, or are they going to continue using other drugs or the same drug, just less of it? I was just wondering.
What I can say in order to answer is to say that medication-assisted treatment may be a part of the options that they have. Adding to the traditional, it's completely out of your system, but they would have additional options depending on the severity of their use. So traditional with more up-to-date options around medication-assisted treatment.
And we have no idea what the percentage is. 50% of the individuals that go through this program are anticipating are totally free of drug use. 10%, 75%, or 90% going to be assisted with some other kind of pharmaceutical for a length of time?
I wouldn't be able to tell you that from the start. I would have to be able to gather the data after treatment has the center is opened.
And I'll just add, we also have a MAP program at the jail. So we have data. If you were curious, we could ask the sheriff for data from the medically assisted treatment program that they're doing there as well.
Okay, I have some concerns about what's going on there with it as well.
Fair enough. Any other questions from folks on the committee?
I just want to say that I'm going to recuse on this for the reasons of employment. Although I am a volunteer with this organization, I have a leadership role.
And we have a ethics board that is interpreting things very broadly. So you are not faulted for that whatsoever. If there's no other questions, I will call the question on 446. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Abstain.
One abstention. Resolution. Nope. Resolution 468, amending the 2023 to 2028 Capital Improvement Program, amending Capital Project 645. the renovation of 21 Elizabeth Street, Elizabeth Manor Emergency Housing. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Oh, moved by Stewart. And can I have a second?
Second,
second by Corcoran. The sponsor's not here, but I, my understanding of this is that it takes the capital expenditure or the capital appropriation that was to be dedicated to the Elizabeth Manor project and basically reduces it to the single contract, the amount comparable to the single contract that we have, which is with the, I believe the engineer, or the architect. You know, my understanding is this, well, I'll leave it at that. You can interpret how that is. Before we take questions from the committee, I suspect that the county executive's office would like to comment on this, so I'd like to defer to Deputy Executive Contreras.
Sure. So this comment is, or status applies to this one and the next one too. We're not close to this being the right decision, but we're not there yet today in terms of being able to say that confidently. I had given an update at the last committee meeting of all the information that we're trying to gather, and we're still waiting on some of it. So we had engaged, we asked DPW to engage a second engineering firm to do an independent review and validation of the renovation estimates. I followed up yesterday, they don't have them yet, so that's still outstanding. DSS has been communicating with the state, OTDOT, to see if we can get an answer on the depreciation, whether we'd be able to get all the renovation costs covered over time, over 40 years. And we're still trying to get, it sounds, as of right now, it sounds like it is eligible. And we've confirmed that two other counties have done that, but we don't have a firm answer from OTDOT, and we also don't have a ballpark, which would be important. And the last piece, I talked about the RFP in order to have a realtor engaged to look at other options. That's been done. So we're close to being able to award the RFP. So those are the things that are outstanding. Like I said, I'm not, this could very well be the way that we all end up going. It's just that if, as of today, we're not 100% able to support.
Legislator Nolan?
For this resolution and the subsequent one, and in relationship to the Penrose project, I still have the belief that this site for a project is really a very important site for the community, especially for family housing. And I'm, you know, I appreciate that the some legislators are calling for this approach. And I appreciate that the executive is taking that very seriously and looking at it in light of the increased cost. But if I had known these costs at the beginning, I would have said, do it. Because of the, you know, this is completely in the center of all the services people will need. And so it's walkable in a way that no other site that was on the maps that we just saw of where affordable housing is in the county, none of them are as centrally located and would provide that major benefit. And even though the timeline on this is not as fast as we would want, unless we have something else that is showing up as available and can go much more quickly, if there's something to at the point where you would have something that's better, that's where I would want to see resolutions like this come forward, not we don't have anything else, and we're throwing out the only thing we have because it's not as good as what we want. So I you know, either postponement or no action or vote this down is the direction I would go.
Legislator Maloney?
I had comments about this and the next one, but I just had a quick question for, I just was looking for more clarity on the depreciation. I'm not following that. How that works for a government. So I was just wondering, I don't understand, to be honest with you, and I've asked some accountants, they don't understand what I'm trying to ask. One was in the meeting the one day, didn't understand either.
So it is possible to claim the cost of renovation and acquisition, except for the part that's funded by other funding sources, so we can't claim for the portion that's ARPA funded, through to the state as an administrative cost. So over year to take the value and divide it by 40 and each year claim it for reimbursement.
Okay.
So it's a long time horizon. So, you know, that's what we would have to do.
More tax dollars supplementing other tax dollars. Thank you.
But the reason that the state does that is because they recognize that there's a public value, obviously, to building these type of facilities.
Yeah. Okay. And that's where the question comes in. Many of us have been to the building now, and it seems as though it's going to be two or three times more to do what we're to renovate rather than to build new, even on the same location, to build what we're going to be renovating. There are aspects of the location and even the parking, the yard for rec that don't make a lot of sense. Time-wise, can take longer. And I will just say that, to me, that's something we have to get away from. Being presented with something that doesn't look like a very good project and going, well, we've come this far, we got to continue at this point. If we don't, at some point, do something like these two resolutions and kick it back to the executive and start from scratch, then we're going to continue going down these roads. And right now, we're stretched thin. We're hearing that there's people that were hired in DPW that are supposed to be keeping up trails that are now being pulled on into other areas of public works and highway. And we have the 911 center. We got whatever we're doing with Golden Hill, whatever that was, the Howard Johnson, the traffic circle, Broadway. And then the rest of the county-owned buildings, we are stretched really thin to go down this road any further on a project that makes so little sense to so many of us with regards to how long it's going to take and how much it's going to cost and what we're going to get for that cost. I just think the responsible thing to do is pretty quickly act on these two resolutions that kind of work hand-in-hand.
Anyone else?
I would just say that the what was just said doesn't square with what we were told in Public Works when we asked specifically about the relative cost of pursuing this renovation versus taking the building down and starting from scratch. We were told that that would be many times over more expensive. Not that they would be the same or that you could save money by doing that. So that's just not factually backed up by anything that I've seen.
If I could just
sure, go ahead.
In response, I wasn't saying that we would tear the building down and then build the exact same building on the same piece of property. I'm saying if we had a piece of property and we virtually built a building close to that, it would be far cheaper.
I'd like to see some data on that.
Yeah, well, I'd be surprised if we were told that in Public Works.
Legislator Maloney. Legislator Petit, go ahead.
Thank you. I agree with both of these resolutions. When we first looked at the property, $700,000 was quite a bit for a building in that condition, and it's in worse condition now. And the $1 million that we anticipated using to rehab it was, in the most part, coming from other sources. So it was a good deal. But now the estimate on top of the purchase price is another $3 point some million, that's without the elevator. The prices just keep going up. I would much rather use those millions to purchase something that's turnkey, such as an ARC house, or the hotels we've been looking at so far are not viable at all. But I think there is more on the market that we could be generally just moving into. Even with the concerns, and I've discussed this with Deputy Contreras, that we'd have to at least meet some of the guidelines for shelters, but it's an awful lot of money, and I don't know where it's going to stop. I'm thinking it's going to be more like $5 or $6 million at this point.
So I'll just speak on, you know, from my perspective. I tend to agree with Legislator Nolan that we've already, you know, we've asked the executive to set in motion finding other options, and I would really be uncomfortable moving forward these resolutions personally. This one had the, you know, 468 and 469. Before we actually have a sense of what those other options are, these might still be our best options, and we might decide that we don't like any of the options and end up moving forward with these anyway.
So I personally feel it's I'm happy to have this conversation in front of us. I don't begrudge at all the legislators who submitted them, but I'm not comfortable at this time voting for this. And for were up to me, I would prefer to see a postponement on this for this month.
The sponsor isn't here, so should we just take no action, or can we just postpone it in the absence?
Well, we
of
have
the
a motion on the table.
You made that as a motion?
Well, that was what we discussed at the beginning of the meeting, that we're taking motions for every resolution.
Yes.
So
I see. We cannot take no action.
Right,
I make a motion to postpone for a month.
All right, there's a motion. Is there a second for that? Yep, second by Legislator Erner. Discussion on the motion to postpone for a month?
I feel more comfortable with that, personally. I think the county executive's office is doing what we requested, and to cut that process short, I think does us a disservice. I'm extremely torn by this whole the whole situation. The rising costs, the time it's taking is discouraging. Conversely, I also agree with the point that Legislator Nolan brought up. Is it's not like we're comparing apples to apples. We're comparing apples to something that doesn't exist, and so. Until we can see more options that might actually be available, I would be uncomfortable in voting for this as well.
Any other discussion on the postponement? Legislator Erner and then Maloney.
Thank you. As long as we're talking about postponing and time, I was rereading about the Route 28 RUPCO project, and I saw occupancy end of 2026, which I think is later than what's anticipated here. That said, I certainly share all the concerns raised. I see the benefits raised as well. Where else to go? I'd really love for us to figure out a way to make an offer on the hospital or look at individual homes in substantially the same neighborhood. That's what I got.
I would like to support what Legislator Erner just said.
We do have an order of folks that are speaking. So.
My apologies.
Yep, Legislator Maloney.
I just wanted to make the point that we just heard that I think we're talking to a second engineer. We're not there yet. We're looking into depreciation, which I'm still a little confused on. But if we don't act decisively, and I think there's to be honest with you, whether we postpone here or not, I think this is eventually going to pass, and we're going to move in that direction. It'll just take us longer. But until we act and vote on these two and send it off, the executive's not going to put 100% of their effort into finding another location and getting started. We've already heard that they're not, that they're spending time and energy still hanging on to this. I just think it's time to move on.
Any other discussion on the postponement? All right, I will call. Yep.
I just would like to say that I am not comfortable with someone speaking to some other individuals or offices' motivations. They can speak to what they see in terms of action, and I think that's available for everybody to evaluate, but motivations are not something that somebody else can speak to with any authority. So I just want to flag it that I don't consider that logical discourse.
Sure. Legislator Maloney.
I completely stand by being concerned that we're not putting enough energy and politics does come into play. Absolutely. I think the people of Sawgreen are very okay with me saying what I said, and I stand by what I said.
Thank you. I'll call the question on the postponement. All those in favor of postponing 1 month?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. 416 is postponed. Before we move to 469, Legislator Petit, you weren't in the room for 446, which was the Samadhi lease.
You can put me down as absent.
Okay. That's okay. Okay. We'll keep that as absent. Resolution 469, authorizing commencement of the process of direct sale of the property located at 21 Elizabeth Street in the city of Kingston. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Stewart and second. Second by Erner. And Legislator Maloney, this one's yours if you want to say anything further on it.
Real quick before, I'm sure it's postponed. The first one, John Zavars put in. It was basically to zero out the money that you put forth over the next 5 years, 3 to 5 years in the capital plan. This one kind of
Councilor Nolan.
Motion to postpone for 1 month.
Second. Okay, moved by Nolan, second by Erner. Discussion on the postponement. All those in favor, postponing 1 month?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. 469 is postponed 1 month. Resolution 421, requiring dedicated space within the workplace for nursing mothers employed by Ulster County. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Moved by Nolan.
Second.
Second by Corcoran. On this, Legislative Petit, if it's all right, I'll defer to the... Where we left things off on this was we're waiting to hear back from the county executive's office, is that right?
A survey to the departments and then need, yeah.
So do we, before we go to that then, is it, knowing that the, actually, I'll go to Deputy Executive Contreras. Do you want to speak to that?
Sure, yeah. So we sent out the survey, we have no issue with this. Most of the departments have established private office or some kind of room that they can use. Or they have one within So I think it's a good policy. I support it. The only thing that I would suggest is there's language in there about refrigerators, and it kind of sounds as if you're looking to require the refrigerator be in each room, like a refrigerator solely used for this purpose. So if you could clarify that to just say that there needs to be access to a refrigerator, I think that would help. And then just one other piece, this is already existing state policy.
Yes.
So in terms of how that works with your council, I don't know if you want to do it duplicative.
Yep. Legislative Petit, do you want to speak to that? And then we'll go to Legislative Maloney.
It's already existing state policy. However, we still have nursing mothers in the bathroom doing this, and that was something the state specifically said was not appropriate. As far as refrigerators, I'd like to hold to that. They're under $100 for a small campus refrigerator, and you know, I gave you my story that if you're sharing a refrigerator, a lot of folks are kind of freaked out seeing breast milk in there too, or if somebody happens to think that bottle is some, you know, freshly pumped cow's milk, they're going to have access to it. So I like the idea of a separate refrigerator for that.
Are you responding to that specifically?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
It is very awkward. I know a lot of stories about that happening. But we did get a flag from DPW about the electrical load. They cautioned that that might cause an issue if there was that many refrigerators added. So
really a small campus refrigerator?
No, not like, so just for example, like for our office, we have one shared refrigerator for the exact office and for the legislative staff.
Yeah.
So we don't have one refrigerator for every department. And it kind of sounds, the way that some of the department has read it, it sounded like they thought there needed to be a refrigerator for every department or a refrigerator dedicated solely to breast milk.
Can we clarify? I mean, it would just be a building. If it was this entire building, you'd only need one.
May I suggest? Let's not do back and forth.
Okay.
May I suggest that it sounds like there's broad agreement on this as a policy. Perhaps we can refine the language if it needs to be changed prior to session, if we wanted to do that. Does this go through any other committees? Okay.
Just ours.
The other alternative is we could postpone it a month, but that seems like kind of not what, I don't know. There's a lot of support for this. I think everyone probably supports it. So I just wanted to throw that out there, that there's another path forward to sorting this out without delay, without delaying a month. So with that said, we'll go to Legislator Maloney, followed by Cahill.
So,
followed by Nolan.
Laura and I put this in, and Laura's had her own personal experiences. My wife and other people that I know in the county office building are ones that have experienced some of the awkwardness around this. Hope that doesn't end up being a conflict. That'll be for our ethics board, who knows if we get this, but we won't be having any more kids, so we won't be benefiting from this. But I originally anticipated, maybe there's some discussion we come up with. Look, the county has a set number of properties. The ones that have the DSS and mental health and the county office building come to mind, that we could have a set room with a refrigerator that could be unplugged unless there's someone using it at that time. There's times you probably have two or three women in the county office building using it. At times you'd have no one. But we could come up with a small room, we have a room on the sixth floor here that nobody uses, the minority room. I'm sure we'd be willing to donate that and make it the official room when need be. They could do the same. I'm sure you could find a small, some place over at DSS, Mike, where you could have a set room. You have a large population over there that would probably be using it more than not throughout the year, you know, with people breastfeeding. And then a separate policy for the smaller units that would not nearly be as used of what we're going to specifically do for them when they have a person that's breastfeeding. But maybe we do take a month and work out the big buildings so we can specifically write it into our legislation that this is the set room. There's a refrigerator that's unplugged unless it's plugged in when one or more people are working that are happen to be breastfeeding at that time. They request it, they'll get a key, and they would have their own space. I mean, I don't think anyone, I think people would appreciate that even if they had to go up a floor or two, but to have a specific space rather than create potential spaces in every single crevice of the county. Have an overall plan specific to the county. I don't think it'd be all that difficult. And really, and over on at DSS would be the two main places that would probably take care of 90% of any future people that would be wanting to access that room.
Legislator Cahill?
I'm good.
Okay.
My question was
I'll just say, I don't know that this necessarily has to, the way it's written currently, I'm not convinced that it reads that there has to be a room, a refrigerator in every single room. I think that there's ways that we could, that it could be interpreted that it's just access to a refrigerator. If folks are comfortable, I'd be comfortable advancing this.
I think I could go that direction. I thought this was a helpful conversation. It seems to me that there might be a benefit for the women who would be using this facility if it was a more ample facility, even if they had to go further in the building than like that same floor. And I think it's a little unclear what the intent is from the sponsors. But if the sponsors want to get a little more clear about that, I think more ample space with a dedicated refrigerator, you know, in one per building kind of thing might be what I was imagining. And I like the idea that it could be something that has a separate keying system so that if it's not being used for that, it could actually be shut down. That'd be have some carbon benefits from that and unplugged. So I think that it doesn't specify, you know, one per department in what's here. And so we hear from the sponsors that's not what is intended. So maybe we just accept that this is, you know, aspirational and that it needs to be worked out. But if waiting a month or two would allow us to all feel like it doesn't have to be looked at again, like whatever we agree is going to happen and then we all know what it is that we're asking for, I think both approaches have some benefit. And I lean towards taking another month and figuring out, maybe even talking to some of the people who've used, you know, who didn't have a facility, and, you know, what would be most desirable. I don't know how detailed the Department of Labor goes in their directives on this. We should certainly comply. But if we have some latitude, I think that privacy and, you know, kind of spaciousness of a one place would be preferable, might be preferable to the people using the service, the facility, than smaller, less comfortable facilities that are, you know, a couple of hundred yards or a floor or two closer.
Just to be clear, this doesn't specify how many rooms they need or how many rooms even for it. Like, I think the very like broadest read of this is like, you know, multiple facilities. You know, there could be one room in each facility. There's no level of specificity deeper in the resolved clause.
Well, it's the resolved clause says close to any nursing mother's work area, and I think that can lead towards people thinking that it has to be very close. And I'm just saying that I like to think there's some room for interpretation of that.
Okay.
Yep, Legislator Maloney. Well, we haven't heard from Legislator Cahill yet.
Yeah,
so let's,
I was just going to say, I think you're really complicating this issue. I think if we have nursing mothers in our employ, we should be doing everything we can to make them comfortable while they're working. And if that means that the DPW has to move a refrigerator from one floor to another, or from one building to the other, while someone is nursing, then that's what we do. It's not complicated. You know, we accommodate nursing mothers. End of story, right? That's just my opinion. We're making this so complicated. It's not that complicated, you know?
Because it's a resolution.
Legislator Stewart?
I was wondering if we might consider making an amendment where it says, like, one of these rooms and a refrigerator, like, per building.
Deputy Executive Petraeus?
I agree with Legislator Cahill. I'd rather not overcomplicate it because I think preference can be very different for the person. Some people, like I've had this experience, I would have really hated to go to another floor or somewhere far away to have to do this. I think for many people, you want it to be nearby. For other people, you would want that space and a more relaxing environment. So I feel like we shouldn't be overly prescriptive on what the actual solution should be, but
I think
ask
it's,
the policy.
I think it's fairly broad here. That's my read on it, but go ahead.
Yeah, with those comments, I feel better because, you know, shows the range of desires, and I think we would be trying to accommodate the individuals, which is the thrust of Legislator Cahill's comments. I would also want us to be thinking about buying an additional small refrigerator for this purpose, because I think having that designated refrigerator for this purpose, and that could be in the person's workspace, you know, it could be moved around. So thinking of how to do this so that the individuals who need it get what they need at the time, if the legislature is going to interpret this resolution as being flexible in that way, then I'm comfortable with moving it forward as it is.
Yep, Commissioner Iacocci.
Just a quick remark. We have addressed this issue many, many times with social services, with our workforce, and in the spirit of the resolution, I think on just about every occasion, the spirit of the New York State law is that breastfeeding mother or mother wishing to pump milk cannot be discriminated against from doing so at work. And once we have a conversation with our employee who expresses how they best want to arrive at being able to do that, we accommodate that. Sometimes it's in their designated workspace where they're most comfortable. And so arrangements are made. We have always had a designated place that someone can also go to do that as well. And across the spectrum of, you know, individuals' preferences around this, we have always been able to successfully accommodate it. And you know, we're very encouraged that the legislature is taking an interest in ensuring that this is the case. So we've seen it in different sorts of ways arrived at being able to be accommodated. And I think that, you know, we clearly would always continue to arrive at designating space or accommodating our employee according to their preferences.
Thank you, Commissioner. Legislator Maloney and then Stewart.
And that's nice. Did they have their own refrigerator? Maybe they did, and that'd be great if they did, because I think that should be part of it. You know, a lot of this is spurred from some of the things we read in the paper around what some women went through over in Woodstock recently, a town that is known to be very progressive, but put some women through hell in the police department for having the idea that they wanted to breastfeed. My own wife was told to go, and she was fine with it, but I think we could have done better to go down to Jim Farina's office, and she used Jim Farina's office and then put her milk into a refrigerator with it, everybody's food. So, and that was considered accommodating. So our definition of accommodating, that's why I just thought we should put, and what kind of spurred me and Laura along, because we've had this conversation before, Laura's been through it, I've been through it through my wife, and then reading about what just happened in Woodstock, this should be pretty simple, I think. And if we wanted, you know, if it ended up where there was an office that could do a little more and put the refrigerator there and the woman had her own office, then you could move the refrigerator into her office. We could expand onto that. But some people don't have their own offices. A lot of people are in cubicles like my wife, and they shouldn't have to go to another department and ask a man to leave his office so she can breastfeed and then put her breast milk out for everyone to see with their lunches. So I think, and that was 3 years ago, so I think we can do a little better. And I think an easy idea would have a small spot in the major large buildings, like DSS, like which they may already have, like definitely get you a refrigerator if they didn't have their own little refrigerator. Do it right up here on the sixth floor. If it works out to do something a little better for a certain person that has their own office, or they have an area in an office like we had here for, I believe, one of our employees a couple of years ago, you can expand and do that. But to have a base of privacy and a private refrigerator and a comfortable chair, I think, is something that we can probably come up with. I think it makes a lot of sense up here for that, to do it there, and then we'll check with Mike and see what they have going over there, make sure. Because a lot of people aren't going to complain. They're going to be technically, you know, accommodated, but they're really not. We can do a little better.
All right, Legislator Stewart, and then I'd like to call the question.
Sure. I was just going to, I wanted to thank the two sponsors for putting this forward. I think it's, you know, needed and, you know, a very thoughtful thing for us to be doing. As long as we are agreed that, you know, this is something that we wish to pursue, and we're able to leave it somewhat nonspecific in how we go about doing it, I would certainly be more than happy to call the question.
Great. So I will call the question on 421. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, that is unanimous. Great. Resolution 423, establishing a policy to reform social services through temporary assistance housing. And I will ask Legislator Erner if you've been able to make any progress in your conversations with the county executive's office on this.
Yes. Thank you. We had a very productive conversation just this afternoon. And it's looking like we're moving in the direction of this not actually having to be a legislative policy, but rather operating procedures that the administration handles. Generally in social services particularly. I'm expecting we will have another meeting next week. We got through about three quarters of it today. So if Deputy Executive Contreras wanted to add anything.
Do you want to add anything? Otherwise I'll be happy to entertain a motion to postpone.
Make a motion to postpone for a month.
Okay. A second?
Second.
Second by Stewart. Any discussion on the postponement? All right, all those in favor of postponing Resolution 423 one month?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Resolution 424, establishing a policy to track all temporary housing facilities on a daily basis. And I will defer to Legislator Erner on any progress you've made since our last meeting.
Thank you. Yes, I asked Clerk Cavella please to withdraw this, as I understand that. This has been implemented by the administration.
All right, that's good enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there we go. We'll move on to Resolution 425, establishing a policy to liberalize access to public spaces for survival. And again, I will defer to Legislator Erner on your progress on this topic.
Thank you. The administration had a conversation about this one last week. And I think the differences between us at this point, and I don't have to speak too much for them, but I can summarize and let me know if that substantially matches. Issues of, and also from council as part of the conversation. So we're talking about spaces that people oftentimes will need access to because, as the resolution states, they're needing to meet their basic needs. And so that would tend to be a crisis situation. So who would be there, if anybody, to assist with that? Well, we have county personnel that are trained to help people in crisis. What's the liability of the county and other staffing concerns? There need to be some investment in staff. I did learn about a likelihood that the moving toward the warming center in Kingston would be open continuously between November and March, which would address some of the concerns that this resolution is attempting to address. And I've heard about the continued issues with having a second location in Ellenville. But
I think that there's still some space between my intention and administration, and I would hope to have another conversation with them before asking the committee to act.
Okay. So I would entertain a motion to postpone, if that's...
So moved.
By Nolan.
Second.
Second by Corcoran. Any discussion on the postponement? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. That is, those are our regular business. The two resolutions in old business I am the author of, and I, as the sponsor, I request no action on them. We had talked if there would be time to have a conversation in new business. There is not time. We are cutting into another meeting's time. With that, I will take a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second.
All right. All those in favor of adjourning?
Aye.
Aye.
Adjourn.